Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Daddy Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we're not going to review Raw, but also Friday Night SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2K. AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete the bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, they're joined by the Dudley Boys to look ahead to Raw tonight. It's been a few weeks since we've done this, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm excited specifically for recording this podcast and talking to my friends. As long as we don't discuss like what the actual thing we have to talk about is, I think I can remain excited. I've seen the notes.
I can't tell if one of the notes, and we'll get to it later, is just your way of talking about it, or if it's WWE copy or what. Yeah, it's Raw. Can't be arsed with Raw. You know what else I can't be arsed with? Waking up anymore. On an existential level, number one. And number two, my body just works all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, you said your body clock got fixed by Vegas.
The absolute jet lag of travel has just made my body work. It's like, no, you really need sleep. It's like, yeah, great. My kids wake me up now and not the other way around, and that never happens.
Oh, wow.
And now I have to get up at like 20 past five or whatever it is to watch JD McDonough is unhinged. What?
Well, the only reason I asked that is, I'll get to
nothing else advertised.
Yeah, exactly.
Honest, I went to like, we attended what is consensus bottom five AEW pay-per-views of all time, and I don't mind that. It's not one of the things where I take it personally just because we happen to be there. I feel like it's going to take me about 6 months to read just the WWE having attended bottom five AEW pay-per-views of all time. I don't know if it was because it was in Las Vegas, and I had very high expectations of how good Las Vegas would be, and it surpassed them. It flew past every single one of them in every respect. And the jet lag.
$2 beers.
I haven't recovered. The jet lag in different ways is still like kicking my ass.
I had superior beers in England at the weekend, and it wasn't the same as a casino $2 Bud Light.
I didn't drink a Bud Light. Bud Light
is
rubbish. Bud Light is rubbish, but
for
not
taste reasons. Yeah. It's just because of the whole for all.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Love what they stand for, even if it's just a fake thing. It's still nice.
I love what they stand for, especially when it's $2 out of a bottle in a casino bar when every other pint is $10 plus. There's a magic to it, and
it was stumbled upon it by accident as well.
Yeah,
I wanted a Goose Island because they sold that at the hotel bar, and
the hotel bar,
the hotel bar, and it was $10.
Oof!
And I was like, well, yeah, I'll still drink it because Goose Island's nice.
Yeah.
And then the tap wasn't working, and there was another one, and the tap wasn't working, and he's like, best I can do is a Bud Light. And I was like, anything. Anything to take the edge off, because Vegas is a bit intense. And he's like, yep, yeah, should be cheaper than Goose Island. So I thought, oh, $6. $2, because they want you to gamble and lower your inhibitions. And I was like, well, I'll just drink that all day, every day, please.
Didn't you get a glass of pop one day? And it was like $6.
It's because it was the Sunday, and it was the most intensive work day, the day around which entire trip was built. So 5-hour AEW pay-per-view, including the pre-show, 2-hour press scrum, go home, record a podcast, debate internally whether you're just awake enough to do the list for the website, or if you're going to do 4 hours maximum sleep and then wake up and do it before you fly for 24 hours. That was the intense day. So I thought, I'm going to get a Coke. I'll have a pint with my dinner, but I'll get a Coke at 9 a.m.
Smart,
to watch the football. So it was the Premier League final day. So I went to the casino, and they said, oh, $6 for a Coke. And I was like, I'll have a Bud Light after this.
Three yeah. Bud Lights, man. It's 10 a.m.
Everything is in, yeah, is in proportions of Bud Light now. I'm sort of piggybacking off your love of Vegas, and I've now kept my attention on something you've both talked about. You see the Golden Knights went one up in the Stanley Cup over the weekend.
And I feel ashamed that I didn't.
Screw you, Florida Panthers.
So they got through because we watched when it was 2-2.
Yeah, they got through. It was, this has been deemed like the least interesting version of the final. Apparently there was like, with both cases actually, with the NBA and NHL that we experienced, there was apparently loads more narrative in the finals that didn't happen. And it was down to the producers to come up with good storylines because... In America, you know how sport isn't it.
Yeah.
It's got, even though it is, because we watch basketball be pure, unfiltered sport.
It's great.
Basketball players scoring points in the crack shack. Scoring
pineapple
points.
Pineapple mustard, watching the best condiment I've ever discovered in the new best sport.
Against the clock. All things that are just...
Buzzer beater.
Specific. Derek White. Like, I know him now, forever, because of him being a buzzer beater. Just within the confines of the sport, but like... They still need more story. No, you don't. Your sport crafts the most insane story there is. We don't get that with our continuous clock. Added to, what the fuck is added time?
In our low scoring games.
A tie? Is the ref just blowing up on a tie? What happens now?
But yeah, 5-2. The Golden Knights beat the Panthers.
There was a good vibe on Saturday night. So Saturday in Vegas. Like Saturday in Vegas was... weird for us because we'd been there since the Tuesday, Wednesday, and hadn't considered that the hotel, that there was a quieter version of Vegas, but Saturday and Friday and Saturday were big arrival days, and you could tell the difference. There were just more people. There was some stag do, some bachelor parties. There was just a bit more chaos than the typical regular Vegas chaos. And Saturday was a really good one because we were out doing something or other, and the T-Mobile kicked out from the ice hockey. So you had suddenly this Las Vegas Golden Knights fans out on the street in party mood, mixed with the Vegas weekend arrivals and mixed with something I saw. And I was like, I will never do that. Despite the amazing time I'm having here, parents that were letting the kids stay up late and then the kids were starting to flag at like 10 p.m. on the Vegas strip. And it's at nighttime, and like Vegas is just starting to come to life. There's like bands playing outside. All the people coming out the game a bit half cut and just wanting, they're kind of nights just starting. It's Vegas. And then the kids were... starting to flag, and you could see these parents in this heat. Yeah, this heat. And I was just like, when the boys are 18 and 16, respectively, I will come back here with them. I'd spent all week thinking, this might work. This is like Orlando with a bit more booze. I think I can make this work. Nope. I saw it for real, and kids were struggling.
For reals.
I saw it for reals. All I'm saying is, when the kids are teenagers, and not a moment sooner. Unless there's another work trip. Please let there be another work trip. I need to go back. I need 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes and $40 more, which, by the way, we just lost. Like that.
Yeah.
It was pathetic.
Yeah.
Down it goes. What was it? Oh, was it on black?
We put it on red.
Should have put it on black.
Because he's Sunderland and Miller's Arsenal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there's two more reds than black, which is Newcastle.
Which is a Vegas thing where you make sense of the odds of which there is no sense to be made. You've lost. All right, then. That was it. It was just such a really pathetic casino experience.
But I'm happy that it was that.
I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad we didn't do it in one of the high roller places. We're walking through Caesar's Palace. Greatest sports bar I have ever seen.
Oh my God.
Like a three, like.
I've been there, yeah.
The inside of the Thunderdome. Where you basically
it's
just
mad
so much
in it.
Any game in the world. Content coming soon to the channel. Yes. So excited about that dropping. But yeah, if we'd have gone to one of those high roller tables where it just started to feel a bit more intense.
Yeah.
Remember walking through that poker tournament like by accident in the MGM and he was like, oh, these take this really seriously. Move away from them.
We went to a wedding in Las Vegas of a very. I think it was my mate's cleaner. No, his parents' cleaner was getting married, and they just went, "Oh, if you're out there, you might as well come to the wedding then." So we all took suits because we're like, "Oh, this is amazing, Vegas wedding." Blah blah blah. Did that? Went to the whatever the chapel is, not the famous one, obviously. Went there. And
there's a chapel district.
Yes.
You can pick your favorite from after midnight. Quite sketchy area, actually.
So we got all these suits. Boiling, obviously, because we've not gone, let's pack the lightweight suit. We've just packed the British suits. And we're like, well, we're suited. We're in Vegas.
We're booted.
Let's gamble. And we were like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to be all suited and booted, and we're going to be gambling, and everyone's going to be like, whoa, who are these cool British guys? We walked in, and we're like, oh, there's a blackjack table there. Ah, $15 a hand, you can bollocks. And we walked around for about half an hour to find like a $5 hand table, and I still spent like 3 minutes and went, and that's all the money I plan to spend gone.
Yeah, they kind of punish you for it. You go and you ask a question, say, hey, dumbass, shut up.
Yeah,
okay. And then what, you get my money? Well,
I've still got to write the review.
We do need to write the review, don't we? Yeah. She was extremely helpful. Some people were less helpful.
Yeah.
And, it's like, it's weird that like Las Vegas wouldn't give you an introduction to gambling. Like we kept saying that. Where's the, effectively, where's the kiddie table? There isn't one. They just want
your cash. My first gambling.
Yeah. Like, thanks, Vegas.
They try and like put on a thing of, oh, I'm the hard ass croupier.
Yeah.
He had a bamboozle, yeah.
It worked.
Oh, cool. I'm not going to spend any money then.
Three more Bud Lights, please.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seth Rollins, of course, defends the World Heavyweight Championship tonight on Raw. He did an open challenge, and it was very quickly accepted by Damian Priest, who obviously doesn't come as a solo. He is he's part of a bigger group because
he's in the f***ing Judgment Day.
Good first defense this was for Rollins.
It'll be heatless until the last 4 minutes.
Didn't he beat Damian Priest last week?
He pinned Damian Priest, yes,
so
in
he beat him
match.
Then. Yes, you've just confirmed what I said. So he's been pinned by the champion. He's first in line for a title shot, and this belt isn't a toy, isn't a trinket, isn't a Christmas ornament. Explain that.
Oh my God, thoughts on the new one? It looks like not good.
I described it on the SmackDown review as, like, I think I'm going to grow to like this belt because it reminds me at the moment of, you know, when you see the Kit Kat with the Biscoff-infused flavour, where the gold mixes with the red.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it doesn't
have you had that yet?
No.
It doesn't look right on the packaging, but the bar kicks ass. So maybe in the end, the belt will rule, because the packaging's kind of ugly.
It's still called Undisputed. Just drop that quietly and call it WWE Universal.
Yeah, you don't know what that word means, WWE.
Honestly, it's such a stupid promotion. But it's the future of storytelling, apparently, Sami Zayn says.
Do you agree that he should definitely keep the other two belts and eyeball the world title? He should look at more belts.
Two of them is better than one ugly one.
But it is, I mean, Damian Priest.
This will be fine. Like, Priest's having a good run. I like him.
Yeah.
I genuinely like Damian Priest. I don't know, like, Backlash, a bit like with Zelina Vega, maybe you look at Backlash and think, was that the peak? Possibly, probably. But you're supposed to at least give the impression of a meritocracy, even if we know otherwise, and even if he's just been beaten. And this is how we do it. Like, he's going to feel probably quite motivated to prove a few doubters wrong without the, like, Puerto Rico backdrop to any of this. This is just a standard TV match. What have you got? Can you feel big time? Can you feel like a contender? Like, the title's never going to be in doubt. Seth Rollins isn't losing it. They might get that near fall, but it's harder to get it from a WWE crowd than an AEW one, and it's proven harder to get it from an AEW one. So they'll do well to get that near fall. But on a personal level, if you're Damian Priest, you're feeling rewarded for your good work lately. And that's all it's supposed to ever feel like as a company. Like, they could do worse than giving Damian Priest a shot right now while he's a little bit hot.
I don't understand why he got the pin.
Well,
why it's so backwards. This will be a more than serviceable match in terms of the content. The crowd will barely read. Where is it tonight? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Just mean meh.
WrestleTix will show you a map with no blue dots on it.
And they'll all be silent.
Yeah, they'll all be dead quiet.
And that graphic will make as much noise as the physical fan. Like the Thunderdome made flesh. They'll get up for the last 3 minutes, and it'll probably go longer than it needs to.
Hartford, Connecticut.
Ah, the site of a WrestleMania.
It's home.
Yeah, it's
so
home.
So it's home. It's the home of the brave.
The old Civic Centre.
The old grim...
old cheap taxi.
Yeah. It'll be fine. You will never remember it as soon as it's finished, much less in a few weeks. It's weird that they've gone this way around to arrive at it. And look, Seth Rollins, I'll tell you what, will be adamant that this is the real championship. It's the one that's there all the time. Because that's what makes a star. That's what makes prestige. It happens a lot. That's how it works, apparently. You'll be motivated to work a Barnstormer. Whether it actually is one or received as one is a different story. 18 minutes.
I don't.
Where they are going to aggressively grab you by the scruff of the neck and say, see, it went this amount of time. It must be good. You are conditioned to think this, Twitter.
Is there Judgment Day overlap stuff happening here where they're looking at Rollins and Balor, maybe?
Yeah.
For Money in the Bank. And Rollins and Dominic is funny. So you've got to book that as well. It's an open challenge this was billed as, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Damien accepted it. They're going to try and do the expedited version of the Gunther and Orange Cassidy thing to create the contrast with Roman Reigns, aren't they? He's going to put this on the line every single week. But I'm with Cedric. I don't think you can just race to that. I think it's got to feel real. Mm. Orange Cassidy has felt like a real fighting champion because you've watched his body break down. You've watched him take on these variety of opponents. And it has been most weeks, so maybe they'll get there with Seth. But the trick has been that that character has already got so much credit in the bank with people that you've seen him have to, like, theoretically break out of his comfort zones, even though all these things you know about the character. Gunther, as a sort of alternative to that, has been this mountain that nobody can climb. And, like, every match is the same, and yet every match is different.
Yeah.
There's such character to the Gunther matches, even though everyone's got the same job when the bell rings, and then they just find that there's new ways in which he stops them completing it. I've really loved Seth Rollins over the last maybe year or so, but I just think WWE are going to be so artless with this. I think they're going to have the same television match every week and then tell you what a run he's putting together. They're going to put infographics together very quickly. And I just, like, I admire what a noble failure it might be, but I still think it'll be a failure. And it won't be Rollins' fault.
I think it's going to be long-term a way to bring in JD McDonagh into the Judgment Day because they...
Is he hinged?
He's not, he's unhinged, Sid, so much so that last week he went, I think, 2 minutes with Dolph Ziggler before kicking too much AS, completely ignoring the referee, and getting the match thrown out.
Christ almighty.
Yeah, it was a very, like, even me on my own couldn't really sell this as, like, guys, this is going somewhere. I was just like, well, you've brought him in, I get it, you know, he's this hard ass who just, like, doesn't mess about, and Ziggler was, you know, bumping and selling for him and screaming as he was, like, getting his head crushed against the
Dolph Ziggler
against the steel steps.
What?
But
seen this? You heard about this?
He
hell of a guy.
I think hell of a hand. Don't call my hand always a star.
They're gonna have the Dom match, like you say, potentially the Finn match at the Pape, and then he's like, "What's wrong? Everyone keeps losing except for Rhea. Well, maybe we need to bring another person in." And they bring an unhinged JD McDonagh, the wild card into the Judgment Day.
I'm going to try and say something about a hinged and a door and forbidden door. And I was like, the Judgment Day is permitted door. Let me just let him in. I don't care. I don't think JD McDonagh
is... I like the pin.
I don't think he's a good fit for the Judgment Day unless he replaces the one he looks most like. And then I don't like the vibe with him as the leader. So I don't know. Like, the jury's out on this. I will let it play out because maybe they'll find his pattern.
Do you reckon JD McDonald's popped anyone in his life?
Nah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Maybe if anyone can find it to them, but I just...
I've told you the story before about how the absolute best party I've ever been to, second year of uni, just absolute euphoria, just in every floor of the house. And then this, like, weird guy who someone who was brought to the party brought them, and it's like, oh, it's too many separations. And was having this great time, and he told the worst joke, or the most basic joke you've ever heard, and he was just like, oh, that joke didn't land very well, let's kill myself, shall I? Oh, dude.
Jeez.
You don't have to do that because you could leave.
Maybe go home and reflect. try another party next week.
Well, I've just paid him to tell him I couldn't piss all over this bar.
Oh, God, get away with that.
It's like a logic game than a joke.
Money in the Bank qualifies.
Piss all over a bar. When I tried pissing all over a flight attendant, I don't like to talk about my past, but it was pretty dark and pretty wild. Come at me when you want to hear some stories, kid.
Don't come at me when you want to draw money, though.
Which is ironic, considering every week I fucking plug Blackpool's Pleasure Beach acts. I don't think I've sold a single ticket to Camden Mall in my bloody life.
But I was just on the undercards back then. I got told by Billy Poughkeepsie that if I kept at this, you could be a star in this game, Sunshine. 15 years later, you drink the tea, oh, it's piss, and you've got them forever. You have this middling run in a weird singlet on Raw, and the trick is, son, the rest of the card's so crap that all the bloody losers will think that you were ready for a world title run in 2008. It was some missed opportunity, was it? Or did no one react to those matches, really?
I turned the lights off and nobody even noticed it was Triple H versus Randy Orton. I'm glad to get an early away. I didn't learn to work when I applied hammerlocks and headlocks. Have you seen me matches? I learned to work watching Daddy and Ace Stacks. Daddy and bloody Ace Stacks. They taught me how to go.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Money in the Bank qualifiers tonight.
Technical style. Have you seen matches? That's a contradiction in terms.
Becky Lynch versus Sonya Deville.
Though, it?
And felt real, didn't it, when I put those brass knuckles and pulled them out and they smelt like my bollocks.
Becky Lynch versus...
That's me and Finlay hit each other really hard. No one actually reacted if you go back and watch it. That's real wrestling sunshine.
Somebody could have brought Goldberg Street before Kevin Nash. That somebody was me in a shoot.
Right.
Everything I know of that Bobby Fish.
Two qualifiers for Money in the Bank tonight. Becky Lynch versus Sonya Deville and
Money
Zoe.
In the Bank. Money in the Bank. Oh, corporate figure. WWE. It's easily done, isn't it? Kiss some ass. Money in the Bank.
Said the day I left, I rang Paul. I said, Paul, see you again soon. It's been emotional. I winked. I winked. He couldn't see her on the phone, but he heard it.
So, Zoe Stark, we haven't spoken about this since you've been back. Zoe Stark now, of course, aligned with Trish Stratus, feuding with Becky Lynch. So it's one of those where presumably, either Zoe or Trish cost Becky and Sonya heads to Money in the Bank, or I suspect the other thing happens and you get Becky defeating Sonya Deville and Zoe Stark defeating Natalya, and they sort of continue this during the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah, you'll get a botched interference spot, I suspect, in the Becky one to remind you that these two people are feuding, because wrestling pandas do idiots with goldfish memories, and Natalya assists. Is it Natalya versus Zoe Stark?
Yes.
Zoe Stark, oh my God. Smash will be boring and heatless. But Zoe Stark will win. And it's a good move. She can really go, you know, in their heads. It makes sense as a match to do because Natalya, in theory, has some credibility, even though on the back of the Saudi show, she has none. Yeah, why does Natalya have to be in it all the time? And she's reliable, sunshine. You wouldn't know that.
I really like the Zoe Stark. Trish Stratus development.
Yeah.
Didn't see it coming.
Bang, 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 bang. That's how you want everything to go. You don't even need a reliable old head to lead in the next generation. 8 minutes of silence. You can't see the magic in that. We do. It'll make sense in the end. You just don't get it yet. You'll learn in time.
You can go 15 minutes on the pay-per-view and hear a bloody pin drop. You did something right. Watch any of my matches in the last 20 years for guidance. I'll give you some tapes. And yes, the tapes. Pressing buttons on a bloody network. You want to get the feel, the smell of the VHS. It's different. No Mercy 2005. Go on, freeze frame it. You can see it. All of it. Was it an accident? I'll let you decide. Did I invent viral concept?
You realise how dark a line
it's a little bit of character development and angle advancement from Triple H, who has done virtually none since he took over the reins from Vince McMahon for this women's division. None. And I felt like there was some.
Yeah.
And, like, I was surprised. I realised that they've acknowledged that like Trish Stratus needs to be a special attraction wrestler and not the
every.
You can beat Becky Lynch this one time, but Becky Lynch gives off the impression of somebody that likes to try and give back and bring people up, and I think she'll do that with Zoe Stark. She debuted on Raw and was having these like moments where she was kicking ass, but like, what's the purpose?
Yeah,
and you can easily
great finisher.
Yeah, great finisher. You can easily put it together in your head that Trish Stratus looked on and thought, right, Becky Lynch doesn't respect my legacy, but here's somebody that will and needs a leg up. I just thought it made a lot of sense when you worked it backwards, and I want Zoe Stark's to succeed. Zoe Stark to succeed where loads of other signings have failed. They've been brought in to win or lose, and it doesn't matter. It's meaningless. Your Meechins, your Candice LeRae's, like your Emma's, your Tegan Knox's. There's loads of sentimental attachments to these, but there's no booking or character development. And immediately Zoe Stark's got some.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of game for this. I hope it works out. And Cedric pointed this out.
Bare minimum, me.
On the stream for Night of Champions, Cedric pointed this out.
Bare minimum.
I think it was
sounds
on there.
Like no mercy to
when they were celebrating that they'd got him over on Becky Lynch, there was a look of political fear on Zoe's face because she just smashed Becky Lynch's face up. But somebody else did that before and it worked out okay for everybody involved, so hopefully that won't be...
It's great visual, yeah.
Yeah, it won't be something held against her.
Yeah, no, hopefully. Absolutely not.
Maybe it will.
Maybe it will. I'd like to think it wouldn't be. Because she's like her stiffness is part of her appeal and you want to use that.
Capitalise on that.
Yeah.
That's called heat. I never heard of it, but that's what it's called.
Just work the hard camera. Speaking of No Mercy 2005.
Stark and Lynch.
Six, whenever it is. I'm pretty fucking forgettable. One of them years.
Stark and Lynch to qualify.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Easy. Easy money. I'm done.
On last week's show, of course, they had the tag title, women's tag title match won by Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. I'm not sure if you saw this, the post promo that she cut, where she said, "We demand to be recognised as the best and
these nuts
prove it." So she's been listening to the pod, apparently.
Who's this?
I didn't know what button Ronda you were Rousey. Queuing up there. But no.
All right, okay.
I was thinking, what a bingo.
Oh, this is going to be a short talking point.
Can the...
No.
Tag titles save Ronda Rousey's run. Is that because of the alliteration of Ronda Rousey's run? Or
well,
just...
No, it's just because the tag titles are meaningless and they could put anything on Ronda Rousey and it's just a mutually apathetic relationship that neither party really cares about. They don't care about the tag team titles. Ronda Rousey doesn't care about WWE, it feels like to me. WWE has lost interest in really going with Ronda Rousey. It's a really underreported story as to why. There's got to be some kind of secret tidbit that makes it so. How am I trying to phrase this? It's too weird that WWE has de-emphasized Ronda Rousey as much as they have. There has to be... It's one of those where in about 1 or 2 years later, we'll hear or read something and you'll go, ah, so that's why Ronda Rousey was just existing in WWE. Can it be that Triple H is that boring? Always a possibility, but there's something there. And it exists in... And women's tag titles, who gives a toss?
She buried the belts in the division really hard and then just remembered at the end she was supposed to be putting it over. Like, that reveal that she went and demanded that, like, they get the belts and they get serious and blah, blah, blah. In the process, that she almost forgot to say, because I want it to be better, because I want to have a run that means something. She was just going in two-footed on the whole thing. Like, as she's right to do, by the way, the division's on its ass. Like, her run's been useless. The kind of ideal... The idealist's version of Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey hasn't even really come to life because the whole thing would have existed, if nothing else, for like Shayna to get a run mimicking, you need to check this out, Will Bernhardt, her Elimination Chamber 2020 type form. It's never materialised. None of it has materialised in any of the ways you could have fantasy booked it, and now is it's a Hail Mary. Putting the belts on them is the Hail Mary. It's like, right, you've got like one last thing to make all of these things work at the same time. It just feels impossible that they can do it. I don't know who... So they've got their Cryptid... Queens,
yes.
Sorcery on SmackDown with the NXT tag titles. Who'd you even put these in a believable program with?
What's going on with the titles?
Raquel Gonzalez makes friends with anybody to set up a tag match. But
Shotzi's busy with Money in the Bank now.
Yeah, and so should Raquel, really.
Yeah.
So what, like Caden Carter and Katana Chance? The two women that failed to win the NXT belts before they got called up as well. It doesn't bode well, I don't think. It'll be a promo this week. Nobody's ready for us and nobody will answer. So it'll be like, oh, nobody is ready. And it buys them one more week to try and figure out what they're going to do. Is Rousey working Money in the Bank?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Like, does anybody care enough to check? Because a year ago, that would have been massive, wouldn't it? Ronda Rousey's coming to the UK. One of the rare chances you get to see her.
She worked Money in the Bank last year, of course, yeah. Drop the title.
No, but like a UK
yeah,
but event.
Yeah, I know what I mean. Yeah.
So it's just like, it doesn't, to Sidgwick's point, it doesn't really feel like she's a like headline player in any capacity anymore. And this idea that what little value she had left is going to elevate these belts that have been brutalized time after time after time. You know, somebody made this point on Twitter that this exact thing was the part of the furore around Sasha Banks and Naomi leaving. And the company immediately turned on them for daring to say you'd not valuing us as champions. Ronda Rousey said the same thing ahead of being given the belts. Nothing's a fix. Nothing's a solution. Just the same thing keeps happening over and over again.
I hope the best case scenario is they hold these until the road to WrestleMania next year and they snap people's arms and they just go back to their sort of MMA. Bloody hell, they're kicking the crap out of people, backgrounds. And eventually you get Shayna versus Ronda at WrestleMania. That's the only salvation I can see with all this.
It's cool if you could believe that like Triple H could book, say, three or four teams as teams to work the way. But you can't even do the fantasy booking. Is there a team in AEW that you could sign away? Like, is there a women's tag team that you can think of that you'd be like, well, that's the answer to the Ronda Shayna problem. Yeah, they've had the titles for so long, and then you go, there's nobody. It's not like
booking is atrocious.
Yeah, it's not a time for women's tag teams. As much as like the belts should be there from a representation point of view, you'd be better off having a secondary women's title akin to the TBS one and trying that. And if you're going to try and fake something with a belt, at least stop forcing women to be tag teams and just have them competing for a secondary title instead. Because you can't, that story, which is great, Ronda and Shayna for next year's WrestleMania, I'll take that all day. But you kind of need to have built two or three tag teams in the background so that one can take them off and then the two can be ready to feud. And I bought Becky Lynch and Lita more than most of the tag teams because at least it was like this old and new, past and present. You know, it's an instant story, but I'll take that over some of these Raquel makeshift ones and whoever Natalia finds backstage. It's rubbish.
That's terrible.
Finally, Cody Rhodes is going to be on Miz TV. What do you think he's going to want to talk about?
Brock Lesnar and Money in the Bank.
SummerSlam, apparently.
For Brock.
According to Dave, yeah.
I could see it, because you're going to have this Roman solo Usos tag team thing to think about. A Roman title defense that isn't Cody. Nobody will buy it, but I could. So money, winning Money in the Bank is what he's going to want to talk about. So he can go back to finishing the story. Like, and he'll do a brilliant job of it. I'm not trying to undersell it. He did a fantastic job of following up with Brock Lesnar loss. Like, he did that kind of WWE thing where, like, it does count because I'm Cody and I'm legit, but it doesn't count and here's why we have to have a rematch. And I thought
pitched a dog collar match.
And I'm not surprised. Like, everything he's doing, I'm believing him. He's managing it so well. I think he's proven me wrong more in the face of these ridiculous setbacks than he did in just succeeding in the first place. Like when it looked like, oh my God, he's going to just weave around the politics. The injuries come at a nice time. The rumble's right there. When they're actually throwing this nonsense booking at him, he's showing his ability by immediately like rebuilding his credibility instantly and selling out another town on a Saturday night somewhere. I think that's really cool. And I think he's figured it out and it's awesome to watch. I just didn't want to talk about Cody in the same way we used to talk about Sammy and Kevin. Oh, they've done so well to game the system. Cody shouldn't have to game the system. The system looked like it was going to change around him.
Yeah.
And I don't like that we're kind of starting to fall into that trap. Miz TV will be great because Cody will figure it out. Like, shouldn't we have just done away with Miz TV because someone like a promo like Cody Rhodes renders it irrelevant?
Mm. Yeah, for a guaranteed convoluted talky segment, I am looking forward to this because it's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, he's already in the system for me. I hate to say it because I love the man and he just makes wrestling so interesting and that should be reciprocated by WWE with its immense, endless resources and he's doing the trilogy with Brock and it's good for what it is, but it's just boilerplate WWE stuff and now he's on Miz TV and it's just very slowly, corrosively feeling like he's becoming a part of it. When the magic of Cody was, he feels bigger than this. He feels like he's impacting this and I don't know, the gears of war, the gears of WWE are grinding and he's in it now. And it's how interesting can he possibly be on Miz TV? he's the most interesting man in wrestling history probably, but he's going to struggle. That'll say a lot about Miz TV when this is incredibly boring.
You know how Miz recites all his achievements every single week?
Yes.
He's going to recite that he's won Money in the Bank twice and cashed in twice and finished his own story twice. And Cody's not even been able to do it once. And that's an impromptu match. And would you believe it, Cody's got his gear on. Or is it like for the dark match after, like they have a brawl in Miz TV and we get the TV version next week and he beats him in a dark match tonight in what has been the only misstep in Cody's in-ring WWE return so far, was a bland match against the Miz last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it was worse than bland. He's had bland matches, Cody, but this is worse than bland. It was amateur hour.
It's just, like, that feels
Miz
like...
Miz can go now, though.
He went, no, he can't.
Went with
he's doing his can go run. Week. He's doing his...
Yeah, I know he is, but he can't.
But that'll probably be the setup, won't it? He's done it twice, and Cody can't even do it once.
Yeah.
And both counts.
Yeah, look, the straw I'm grasping at here is... Miz saying, you haven't finished the story, the history of Money in the Bank, Brock, etc. Brock's not even going to have responded. And so he's going to, in the dream scenario, he baits him into having a qualifying match for Money in the Bank, getting into that, wins the Money in the Bank briefcase, calls a shot, and wins the title at SummerSlam. Still a chance.
I think you might have to wait for WrestleMania 40 for that at this point.
Yeah, probably.
And you're like, good, actually.
Yeah.
See.
Three more E's just got added. Play out, mate.
It's like Harry Potter. You've finished a story, but no, you haven't. There's like six more stories to it. Cody's a franchise player. That's what franchise means. It goes on and on and on.
Triple H saying, it's not cinema, idiots. It's a soap opera. It's one of my favourite moments of the year.
Let us know your thoughts ahead of Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. You can listen back now to our SmackDown and Rampage reviews, and we'll all be back tomorrow to review Monday Night Raw. It's been a while since we've done the three of us. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you send us a 5-star review, something short, crap, and wrestling related for us to talk about instead of something god-awful on Monday Night Raw. You can either do it on Apple Podcasts or you can leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify. Screenshot it.
We need the proof.
And then email it to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to the Dally Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.